Okay. So yeah, then I would say, let's start. So welcome to the Onto IOP teleconference. Yeah, so the agenda would be chapter 4, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Yeah, Peter has posted this into the chat, but nothing that would really take long, so maybe we can even go through the whole agenda today. Anything else?
No, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so in chapter 4, there's just on Maria's request, a new definition of approximant. It's a bit pity that Maria is not here, so maybe we could also postpone this, or has any one of you had a look at this definition? So it's on page 15.
What are you, which part are you looking at now again, please?
So chapter 4, page 15, there is approximant uniform interpolant.
Oh.
That's basically new upon Maria's request. Okay, but if nobody comments. Yeah, awesome.
Are these fairly common terms? I mean, it's the first time I see one.
Yeah, there is some literature about this. I have also sent around this some year ago to the list, what the literature is. So there are about 10 papers or so in this area. And Maria wanted to have it, and we also have it in the language, at least in my slides, not in the language in the document yet, but we could add it there.
This is Terry. You might want to put a footnote or something in to show its provenance.
So some example.
No, just point to a paper or something that that uses it or that defines it or that, you know, one of the things you were talking about, you say there are 10 papers or 10 areas where you've seen it. Just you know, put a note in here that says this is where you can find more.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, then staying with chapter 4. So Tara has some
I have a question. Sorry, I have a question. Do we need both terms? I mean, is there a reason for introducing the synonym?
Yeah, I think uniform interpolant is the more common term, and approximation is the common term, and approximant is kind of newly created. There, but approximant probably better understandable. So there,
so maybe we could just call it approximant and then include either in the same footnote or in the explanation of the text, and this is also referred to as the uniform interpolant. I'm just thinking it may be not a good idea, if you can avoid it, to introduce synonyms.
Okay, yeah, we could do that. Yeah, one. Okay. So then
can,
we do this.
Can you capture a little bit onto the chat to just document that we had discussed this?
I have directly added the document. Would this suffice?
Sure. I'll make a note then.
Okay. Yeah, because it's a bit too much to edit the document and capture things on the chat.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So then Tara had some point about the terminology section, atomic and so on. Although I don't see your point. So what you quote is the definition of non-logical symbol, but in your mail you don't mention non-logical symbols. So. Tara, are you on the call?
She put a note on the chat. She couldn't be there with us.
Ah, okay. Okay. So, yeah, then I will email her. That's probably because she sent it by email here. So I think we can ignore this because she said that atomic cannot be replaced by expression or syntactic constituent. Yeah, but that was not the point here. So on page 10, a non-logical symbol is defined to be an atomic expression or syntactic constituent. And this really can be substituted for a non-logical symbol. So I don't see a problem here. Okay, so any remaining things for chapter 4? Yeah, if not, then let's go back to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is just a one-pager with a lot of normative references, OWL2, EBNF, XML, UML, Common Logic, URI, IRI, RDF. So I think it's rather uncontroversial to have that. Probably we should extend this with those things listed in the RFP that we should cite more OMG standards here, right?
Could you make this numbered instead of a bullet list? Then we could refer to them by number in the text.
Okay, yeah.
That will make the referring vault tricky, right? Because you will have two referencing schemes going on. One referencing the literature which is in this normative part, chapter 3, and then referencing other documents in the NXM bibliography.
Make them letters then, or make them put a prefix on every one, like normref 1 through N, or normref A through
N. Yeah. Or you just copy them and have them in the general references. But do you think it's that important to keep them separate from the non-normative references?
But I wouldn't duplicate them. That's a bit boring. And section 3 should be the normative references.
Sorry? I don't think anybody's going to read through the references, so duplicating them doesn't seem to be an issue. I mean, it's just weird to have two types of references, one which is at the end of the text, and one which is in the middle of the text, which is would be confusing.
Sorry, Michael here. Where are we? Sorry, I'm late. Where are we looking at?
Page 9.
Page 9.
Got it. Thanks.
So they, Terry proposed to have a numbered list, not a bulleted list. And if we had a numbered list, we could also reference those numbers. But then Fabian said that this would conflict with the numbered references in the bibliography at the very end. So now the proposal is to repeat those normative references in the bibliography when referencing them.
Well, I think it's useful to have the text identify things that are normative, or references that are normative, if you're going to cite it anyway. So the separation should be maintained. But, you know, it's not, I didn't mean to make this a big deal, but
No, it's just a practical.
If I'm reading the thing and it says and here's a normative reference to essentially to support my assertion here, that means a lot more than here's a associated reading other reading material that might be interesting to you, which is what the non-normative or the general references are.
In this case, I would argue for having two reference schemes and having no duplication of the references.
Okay. Well, it's not hard to do. You just need to come up with some way of some prefixing or something. So that at least people can see just by the reference where they need to look.
Yeah, sure. But this should be possible. Okay, anything else for section 3? Yeah, if not, then let's move to section 5. Which is, again, a very short section. It's just the list of symbols. And yeah, this also seems to be rather uncontroversial, I think.
Do we need to include all the OMG stuff in there, including OMG?
Yeah, probably. Although in the front matter, isn't there a lot of, I mean, if you look at page 8 in Roman numbers, there's a lot of stuff, UML, MOF, CORBA, and so on. And that's all explained there. But maybe we repeat it in section 3, in section 5, why not?
Well, I wasn't arguing for it. I was just a question. You need to do it. It's not improving readability, I think. But
yeah, Conrad should know.
Yeah, we should ask Conrad.
Yeah. Okay. If nothing else on section 5, then section 6, additional information. So I'm not sure what the role of this section is, so it's kind of giving some very general introduction and then some general features of DOL. Couldn't this be merged into section 1 or section
2? Just to give a background, I think when I made the migration from the more from the ISO format to the OMG format, I had this text which needed to go somewhere. And the section additional information was there, at least in the one of the standards which I used in addition to the template. So I put this stuff in here. That was just a matter of convenience. So if we can put it somewhere else, it's fine too.
Yeah, I would either delete it or put it, merge it into section 1, because it's very general stuff about DOL. Which is fine, but it's strange to have this as section 6.
Does OMG have a, like in ISO, there are these places where you can put in informative notes. Does OMG have that sort of convention some places? Because, for example, say on page 24, the last paragraph of this section, I guess, the one that starts within the dual framework, existing OMSs, et cetera. I can see how that would be something that we would want to have as an explanatory note for, say, Section 712.
You've got a bunch of informative annexes. You could just turn this into one of those.
Well, no, I'm thinking that it actually, by sitting off by itself, I'm not sure if it's really helping anybody. But by perhaps being an informative note in a later section, it can just provide some context. So for example, 712 says DALL is a logic agnostic metalanguage in a sense that its constructs can be used for many different logics. Well, that last paragraph of section 6 is just kind of explaining that a little more, just providing a little more background. Right, but it's not a conformance kind of paragraph. It's just an informative one. So if OMG has that capability, we could stick that, say, for an example, as either the last paragraph of 712 or something like that, the first paragraph. But if not, then I guess move it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that they actually, in this paper, there are several annexes that are labeled informative. It looks like that's the mechanism they're using for separating.
No, that's a different story. So informative annexes are okay. We have them.
Right. So just make this an informative.
This is a very general. No. This one, section 6, is a very general explanation of what DALL is.
Yeah.
Or some features of DALL. This doesn't belong to an informative annex.
Okay.
It either should be in section 1 in the scope, or I like Michael's idea to have informative notes throughout the text, or it can be deleted, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean, though. But putting it in section 1 to give an overview, that also would play a good role there. So it kind of sets the sets the context. I think it's important to keep it somewhere because I don't know, Fabian, at the last meeting, if there are still misconceptions about what's going on. But, just as an example, this last paragraph of section 6, I think, can help alleviate or prevent some of these misunderstandings. And by having an introduction, I guess, would help there, too.
Well, I was just, the venues that I talked to, nobody, there were still people with misconceptions. I think we are starting to understand what we're doing in a better way since we're now talking about the solutions, not just about the problems. Regardless of whether the people in the room understood it, there will be enough people who will look at this without having ever heard a presentation by any of us. I think it's a good idea to have something early in the document which explains what mental health is about.
Mm-hmm.
The question is whether there's a convention to include this in scope somewhere else. And the scope is really, really bare bones, right? If you look at the way it's currently.
Right.
It's all very dense and it doesn't say anything, it doesn't explain anything. You may just have a look at various if I remember correctly, the template that I looked at doesn't give you good hints. So maybe you should look at various other OMG standards and see how they solve the problem. I think the one that I looked at is the meta model one. I forgot its name, but which Elisa is involved in. And there they have this informal note. Additional information. That's what it calls here. The additional information section in this place. So relatively late in the document.
Aha. Okay. Then I will have a look what's in there. In the you're speaking of the ODM on the ontology definition meta model.
Right. You have better acronyms than I am. That's what I was talking about.
Peter Yin here. I support moving that to section 1.
So if that's possible, that's fine. I'm just, when I filled out the template, I try to model it after what the ODM folks did. So if you, and now open the ODM document. So the scope is one page, and it's similarly structured as the scope in the current draft. Now you have a little bit of text and then bullet points. And then they have what they call addition, then they have this additional information in section 6, which is the first, I think everything before it came directly from the template. So scope, conformance, normative preferences, terms of definition, symbols were, if I remember correctly, in the template. So you can't, assuming we have to follow the template, we can't put in just in different section, which would give, motivations or something like that. So the additional information section is then the one which gives, at least in the in this specification, the idea for the specification.
Yeah, true. I also had a look, yeah. Okay, so then I suggest that we keep this section and ask Konrad whether this is the usual thing that happens in OMG standards, and maybe we can still shift some of the things towards section 1. I prefer to have it there, but maybe there is a policy that this section 1, the scope, should be kept short. I'm not sure. So say we move as much as possible to section 1, depending on OMG's constraints, and keep the rest in section 6.
If you do that, I don't know if you're working to the formula here by labeling an additional information, but if you could give it a more informative title, I'd be more comfortable with it.
Additional information is the title of the section. That's basically
that's what OMG requires.
Yes.
Okay, too bad.
I'm not. Are you sure? I know that I followed the template, and probably it is the name, but it may be the case that I just copied the names from Elisa from the specific instance that I looked at. I'll check that until the next meeting. I don't find the template right now. Oh, yes. Yes. No, it's okay. The problem is also they changed their templates. So I need to find the right template. And then we can check that.
Okay. So then we have section 7. And section 7 is kind of superfluous because it again lists the requirements. And design overview, but the requirements, so 7.1, that's basically already the RFP. And I have asked on the list whether we should repeat the RFP requirements or how to indicate that we fulfill the RFP requirements. And then Konrad has answered that we should have a table where we list in the left column the RFP requirements, and in the right column we list how we answered them. And that table should be deleted after the standard has been approved. So that seems to me to say that in the end there is no requirements here in the standard.
Okay, so this would then be not something really part of this document, but an additional document which we submit along with the document.
Yeah, or else some part of the document that will later be deleted. That's how I understood Konrad.
Okay, I'll ask Konrad that. Since they are on these rather, they will approve the document. If you make a change to it, they'll approve it again, right? They are very picky about these. Each document gets its identifier, and then that thing is approved. So it will be weird to have them approve something and then remove something from that. I'll ask for it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is removed after the submission is adopted. So, but yeah, whether it is a separate document or not, I'm not sure. Okay. So, and then section 7.2, I think, can stay. That's an overview of the design. And if you look at the ODM standard, section 7 is something else. So section 8 is about the design, and section 7 is about use cases, users, scenarios, and general goals. So it seems that section 7 is giving the whole motivation for the standard in the ODM. And maybe we should do this also with OntoIOP. And maybe some of the material of section 6 could then also go into this motivational section.
Is section 7 then intended to be demonstrating that this submission meets the use cases that were part of the requirements? Is that its intention?
Not necessarily. So,
okay.
As I understood Konrad, we need a separate document or at least a separate table that is later on removed, which specifies how we meet the requirements of the RFP. And then I would see the section 7 rather independently, but we could, of course, just copy the use cases from the RFP. But I think we are also free to adapt them and modify them and or have completely different use cases as well. So I think we're not bound to stick to those use cases. But something should be there in section 7, I would say. Some use cases. And then 8 design principles. And this would be basically our current section 7, 7.2. Does this sound reasonable?
Sorry, I muted myself. I just found the template I've been working from. And the template indeed contains, it specifies basically the first 6 sections. And the first, the 6th section is called additional information. That's the template I've worked with, and that's the 2008 template from their website. And then for the section 7, it says a specification chapter title. And so starting with section 7, we are free to do whatever we want. It does not include, interestingly enough, the notion of normative and non-normative in, at least not in this template. I mean, you would think that, oh, the annex, it says that for the annex, directly under the annex, it says something like normative parentheses. Below them, and it doesn't say anything. I assume that may mean that everything in the sections is normative automatically. I'm not sure about that.
We could also have informative annexes, hopefully.
Yes. Yes, the question was just, can we have informative sections of the main text? And it's currently in the templates, it doesn't look like it, but who knows?
Yeah, that implies everything in the main text is normative.
Yes, that's how I read it.
Which is one reason to strip it down to the minimum.
Yeah.
Put everything in annexes.
You should just stop at section 6, everything else is annexed.
Yeah, I don't think that we need informative main sections. I don't
good. Okay, I just wanted to point that out. I'll put in a link if I find my window so that you can look at the documents, the template.
Okay, so then I suggest section 6, additional information, because it is required, and let's see what goes in there. Then section 7, motivation and use cases. Section 8, design overview. And section 9, abstract syntax of DAW. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. I think then that's it. So then we have to do a little bit of rewriting. And then next time we can continue with this newly written section 7.
Yeah, our next meeting is scheduled on top of the ontology symposium, right? The summit symposium?
Yeah, it was the week before it.
Oh, is it? Okay. Never mind. So I'll see you then.
Okay, so next meeting in 2 weeks, same time. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. See you.
Good.
Bye.
Good meeting.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.